The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kingy just got me to say 3-2-1, and I successfully was able to pull that off. What a dynamic start to the Cat Attack Podcast, the Christmas edition.
We've never done one of these.
No, so you need to get your crystal set cranking, Kingy, or your boombox blasting, because we have got the big red man down your chimney edition of the Cat Attack Podcast. Have you ever had, is it an annual thing for you, Kingy, to have somebody slide down your chimney?
No, I don't have a chimney at my place.
Oh, right. What? How does that work then? Well, how does Santa get involved?
He's got the master key.
Oh, right. He's got the master. Do you leave stuff out?
Yep.
Right.
Usually a six pack.
Do you?
Yeah.
And then you get up and have to drink them in the middle of the night, do you? Which is a little bit...
You say that like it's a bad
thing.
Yeah,
I know. That's good. And do you have a cookie? Would you leave a cookie or a carrot?
A couple of shortbread.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Shortbread and a Victor Bravo.
It's a festive... Yes, it's a festive time, isn't it, Kingy?
It's a very festive.
It's festive.
We haven't seen each other much since grand final day, but the two times that we have been... We've been alcoholically altered.
Yeah, been reasonably. I think the expression is windy.
The Pearl Jam experience.
Yes,
was good.
That was good. Very good. They were very good. They did play.
They did versus
at the ESPY two Friday nights ago.
Yep, correct.
Well, last Friday night.
So they did all of versus.
Yes.
I thought they would do it in album order, but actually varied up the order a little bit. But
and then later on, they produced some like stuff from outside 50, some old Pearl Jam.
When they pulled Yellow Ledbetter
out. Yeah, that was gold.
Yeah.
They were very, very good, Kingy. That was a good night. And then the K-Rock breakup descended into I ended up in, fair to say, I don't know if I should
you
be
ended
disposing
up. You went down to River Rocks.
I went to River Rocks. Right. The Meanies played down there. And I ended up...
Did you run into Chris Nichols?
Yeah, I ran into a few people, and then I
DJ
sort of
Rock Dog.
Lost a little bit of sort of
time.
Lost a bit of focus. and I ended up in, well, I don't know if I should say this to you, but I did end up in someone's garden on the way home.
Right.
I did. It was a struggle to get back to the ranch, I tell you. I was in a
you
lot of...
You should have come with Kirsch and
yes,
Jason
and
I.
Had a Wagyu beef.
Had a Wagyu beef and a
yeah,
red wine.
I didn't. Yeah, it was an extraordinary night, that one. I actually took me a while to get over that, Kingy. Mm. I haven't really been out since. It was it's given us time, Kingy, to... Did the cats' alarm fail to go off for the trade period? Do they know what actually happened?
Nothing happened.
They didn't do anything.
Well,
got picked 9,000 for a Savo Radigalea on top of 25, which they actually used as a voucher at the good guys, did they? I don't know what they did with it.
No, it occurs higher.
It was so bizarre. They tried to talk up getting picked 94 as a good thing.
Well, it was never going to be picked 94. There was only, 50-odd picks in the draft in the end anyway.
Yeah, 18 teams and you've got a first round of the draft that ends up going to pick 29.
The Northern Academy...
Yeah, compromised.
Well, it is. But Andrew Pridham made a good point from the Swans during the week. It is so compromised with the academies and the like. But so is the fixture.
Yeah.
You know, we they travel every second. Like, they only play in their state 12 times a year, the Northern teams. Play 11 home games and one usually against their interstate rival.
Yeah.
Collingwood, they play 18 games in Victoria.
Yeah, but still
17 of those at the
but
G.
That's just the field dimension. I mean, you're still playing on an equal. It's the game's still the same, and the field's still green.
But
the posts are still the
but
same.
But the advantage to playing.
Yeah, but if you're good enough, you'll win. But actually getting to that point is compromised in how you compile that list to go away and win. So I mean, I Geelong when they were in their heyday, they used to just go anywhere and smash anybody. Mm. Didn't matter where it was.
With all those father sons.
So I don't get that it's not compromised. If you're good enough, you can go and travel. What does it say you can't travel and win?
Oh, exactly.
But it's compromised in how the list is assembled. And, you know, if you said to someone in the NFL there was going to be a first-round draft that would end up at pick 50 when there's only 32 teams, they'd say, well, out the door you go. I think it's too convoluted, our draft system. And swapping of picks, you know, you swap a pick and suddenly you drop back three picks of that pick because, you know, someone's got a handout and wants to get Wayne Carey in the draft. I don't know. I didn't follow.
But isn't that good list management that you're able to maybe use to be able to manipulate it to work it the way you want it to? Like Geelong, you know, obviously, you know, when Gold Coast wanted Jeremy Sharp badly a couple of years ago, and the Cats said, yeah, fine, and then they turned that into what they needed.
Yeah, yeah, and Geelong have benefited from it. I just think the system has become too convoluted, and it's to have 29 picks in the first round of a draft with a competition of 18 is bordering on ridiculous. What other competition in the world does that? Does the basketball do that?
No.
Do they have a first round pick that ends up 40 picks late after the, you know, the first round? It doesn't happen. I don't know. It's become... Oh, well, the draft for me is an absolute...
It's a different setup, though, those sports. We can't compare them to the American sports.
No, we can't. But we can with the NFL, we can.
But you'd be,
the best 32 players go to the 32 teams in order from worst to best.
But American football, you know, obviously started on the East Coast and expanded west and have a population of, what do they have, 250 million people over there?
Like, yeah, probably more.
It's different when you...
It is different.
We've expanded into states that have a lot lesser population,
yeah,
other than New South Wales, but aren't. It's not football heartland.
So do you envisage a period where they'll be able to stand on their own 2 feet and all this sort of stuff will go?
Yes.
And when will that be? How many flags do you think they'll have had to have won before that happens?
I can't see. I don't reckon Gold Coast win a flag in the next 10 years.
You don't reckon?
No.
Even with the old Hardwick up there?
No.
You're writing them off already?
Yep.
Wow. There you go. That's the first one. Gold Coast cannot win the premiership in the next 10 years. So who's closer to a flag then? West Coast or Gold Coast?
West Coast.
Right.
We got a bloke called Harley Reid.
Well, I thought West Coast... I thought Gold Coast picked up these... Oh, no, that was at Brisbane. No, I thought Gold Coast had three really good players that were coming in through their academy.
They have.
Yeah, who were all top teners.
Yep.
And they were getting them through,
so they've got,
you know, so having to get points from their fuel vouchers.
So Jed Walter, Ethan Reid...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one Geelong actually matched the bid.
Right. All bid matching. Yeah.
So, and who was their third? I'm just trying to remember. Who was the third one? Oh, Jake Rogers was pick 14, matched by Sydney. So they had three that were all matched. So, Geelong,
so they had some good players in.
So Geelong was going to use at pick 9. They wanted that. They were happy to take that Ethan Reid, but they got Connor O'Sullivan at pick 11.
So their pick 8 originally became pick 11.
Cats pick 9.
It was 8.
It was going to be 8. Then it became
pick 8,
then
and then it became 11.
Yeah. Well, they did a trade with Essendon. They did a swap with Essendon.
What's your take on big Connor? Is it Connor?
Well, if they've gone to give him number 14.
Yeah, that was a big move.
Yeah. Which was quite funny. We'd been on the KFC X that day saying, is it time for the number 14 to come back into play? And the great number 14 actually jumped on and said, happy for somebody to wear it next year.
Yeah, right.
Little did we know that he was turning up
in
the draft.
I'd love to know whether that was... Surely the Joel probably brought that up himself, did he? In terms of went to club and said, look, I'd like the first round pick to have this number?
I
doubt whether the club would have...
Oh, no, the club would have probably...
Approached him and said, you reckon? I reckon he would have said, look... I don't know. I reckon it'd be a bit sort of sacred sort of ground, the 14. Only a year removed.
Yeah, but how long do you leave it out?
No, I'm not saying you leave it out, but I just wonder whether Joel said, look, let's do this. I wonder whether who instigated that. It'd be interesting to know. We might be able to find out across the course of next year.
What do you think of the stand name?
Better than the Derek Hall stand.
Derek Hall stand. Well,
that would have been good. He had sticky fingers, I'll do. Is it finished yet, the stand? They're saying it's ready 2028. Apparently there's something wrong with the plastic in the seats now. It's not the right strength.
It'll be right for round one, Benny.
Right. Good. The last piece went on. Actually, somebody...
The last shade sale's on?
Yes. So somebody texted me, lives in MacKillop Street, texted me a photo of the last bit in the air going across.
Right.
So... But
and they've whacked, they got solar panels on it.
Do you think they'll be giving back to the grid? I don't know that they will. No, look, it's yeah, look, I sort of don't get caught up in all that, but yeah, I don't think you could find a better name for it, could you, Kingy?
Nah,
I mean,
good.
They were sort of
it's good.
Keen to stay away from that with the players' stand in terms of naming.
And the premiership stand.
Yeah, so they... Yeah, look, I think it's fitting.
So you've got Brown...
I actually haven't thought about it.
Brownlow, Hickey, Selwood...
Yeah, no, it's good. Good, Kingy. And the 14 will be immortalised there in the stand. We'll be able to talk about the Joel Selwood stand. And
we'll stop calling it the Foo Fighters end of the
ground.
Yeah,
or the Engelbert Humperdick end of the ground. It's disappointing that that's gone, Kingy, because Engelbert really put on a show that day in the forward pocket, didn't he? It was extraordinary.
You idiot. So the Cats took Connor O'Sullivan at pick number 11 out of the Murray Bush Rangers. So key defender.
Yeah, big, what, 198 or something?
Yep. Next pick was Mitch Edwards, who is a big boy from Peel Thunder.
What did he get picked?
He's at pick 32.
When you say big boy ruckman, isn't he?
Yeah.
Did you think that that was a little bit odd?
No.
I did.
Why?
Well, we need midfielders.
Yeah, but they need a big bloke too, because Stanley's probably done at the end of the next year.
But haven't they got what's his Loch Ness Conway?
Yeah. Well, you can't have just one ruckman on the list.
Well, surely you maybe get an experienced, like someone who's not experienced, like someone 22, 23, like GWS seem to stockpile.
I'm happy with
Can you
that.
Have two, I don't know, well, they're not, two really good ruckman playing the one team? No.
Well, it didn't work at Melbourne.
No, I don't know that they can. But anyway, I just thought it was slightly interesting when the desperate need is the midfield. There was a player clearly thought that, what's his name?
Mitch Edwards.
Mitch was the best option at that. But he's going to be like a project player. Don't expect to see him for 4 or 5 years.
George Stevens.
Yes.
Played some VFL with the Cats.
Yeah.
He's not quick.
And he's fully developed,
but
isn't he?
But he finds a footy.
Yeah, he's fully developed.
Yep.
He's not going to, I don't know, there's much, they call it in racing, Kingy, scope for improvement.
Yep.
I think what you see is what you get.
Yep.
So, yeah, interesting.
Ollie Wiltshire from Barwon Heads at pick 61.
Didn't you miss the kid from Werribee? The guy from
Manor. Sorry, I did too.
Manor pick 36.
Yeah.
Now, watch his highlights.
Yeah, he kicked six in the VFL Grand Final. He won the medal for best on ground, despite being in a losing team.
Yeah, and his highlights look very good. Looks quite clinical in front of goal.
Yep.
What did you think, Kingy, when that pick was announced?
Manor?
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised. Knew they were into him.
Right.
Yeah.
At pick 36?
I would have thought he'd gone later, but...
Do you think the other clubs would have thought he'd gone later?
No, Geelong have probably gone there thinking he was probably about to be snapped up because the Cats' next pick wasn't until 58.
Do you think that old Sean Manor will be part of Geelong's next premiership?
Well, I can't see the Cats winning a flag in the next five.
So would you then, why would you use a pick inside the 40s for a bloke who isn't going to be part of your next premiership?
Because the Cats probably think that there's still a chance to win a flag in the next 5 years.
Do you think, as we sit here right now, that is a false...
I don't think it's a false...
A false reality?
I don't think it's a false reality, but I can't see it happening.
No.
But I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I can't see the... I'd like somebody to mount an argument with how Geelong win a flag in the next 5 years with what they've got to contend with.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody said to me, suggested that this guy will be top 10 in Geelong's best and fairest. So he'll probably come in and make an impact and we'll think, great. And I'm, no knock on him, because he probably will.
Yeah.
He's mature. I don't know his backstory, but I don't, how did he get to 26 and then be such a dominant force in the VFL and not be picked up earlier?
Because I don't think he was that dominant for that first 2 or 3 years in the VFL.
Right.
And I think COVID hurt. You think if they lost a season.
Yeah.
And then they had an 10 or 11 game season tops in 2021.
Did he win Werribee's best and fairest?
No, I don't think he did.
That's interesting.
Let me have a look at Werribee.
My only take on it is that, look, and like, as I said, I don't wish this guy any ill will. I think he'll come in and probably, well, he needs to play well early. He hasn't got 3 years to develop. Let's put it that way. He's 26. So, but at that point, as I said, Geelong need midfielders. Are they drafting a bloke at pick 36 out of the VFL thinking he is going to be the difference maker in getting them a premiership? I hope not. I mean, are they thinking he's going to be a little part to the puzzle? Possibly. You know, look, there's pros and cons. I just don't know that where Geelong is at.
He finished runner-up, Manor, to Dom Brew.
The old Brewster, the old Teddy Brewski.
Punky.
Yeah, old Punky Brewster. So, I don't know. Look, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I just feel, I don't know, my initial thought was why you would use a pick inside the 40s for a bloke who I don't think is going to be part of your next premiership.
Wiltshire.
And he needs to play well next year. He needs to be playing.
Yeah, you can't be, 26, playing you a can't dozen, be 26 years old and hanging out in the VFL for 2 years.
No. And winning the VFL best and fairest. Yeah. And then, you know, then 27 and then.
You're gone.
Yeah, he needs to be playing senior footy next year, at least a dozen games.
Yep. Ollie Wiltshire and then Lawson
Humphries. What number was Ollie Wiltshire?
61.
Yeah, and what was the other guy?
Lawson Humphries was 63.
Right.
There were 64 picks all up. There were more picks in after round one, but 35 as compared to 29.
The steak knives, Wiltshire. So somebody...
Well, actually, somebody suggested we call him Blade.
Right.
The Cats took former Hawk Emerson Jecker with its only rookie draft pick, pick seven, and with a Cap B pick, former basketballer Joe Furphy.
The Furfster. The Furphy refreshing ale.
They were the Cats' picks in the draft, Benny. They're back at training. Have been back the first 4 years.
Let me guess, they're fitter and stronger than they've ever been.
Back in mid-November. I haven't seen any preseason training. They have not done a lot of media and opened up sessions. They've been out at Deakin. 5 year plus have been back. What have we been back about 3 or 4 weeks? A couple of changes to the coaching staff. James Raleigh's back.
Yes.
Stephen King is back after 16 years
Do
away from the club.
Do you think it's weird James Raleigh is back?
Yeah, that caught me a little bit off guard. Stephen King's a great addition.
Yeah.
I think that really timely, and I suspect too gets another set of eyes on Conway as well.
Do you think Otto would have to find another Bay Marie to go to, or not? Or do you think they'll still have him just lumbering down for his smoked salmon and asparagus on a Wednesday?
Not sure what he's up to, Otto. Daisy Pierce is gone. She's taken the AFLW coaching job at the West Coast Eagles, and Sean Grigg has gone to the Gold Coast. He was released for, he had a year to run on his contract.
And they let him go.
And they let him go.
Yeah.
So he's gone to join Damien Hardwick at the Suns.
Right. So who have we got then? James Kelly's still there?
Cal.
Yeah.
Lappin.
Yeah, well, he's been there. Like he's,
so Lappin, Kelly, Raleigh, King.
He's like Stonehenge. He's been there for, like, when they do the tours of the of GMHBA Stadium, they show, you know, Lappin at his, you know, like sort of they do touring around Stonehenge. He's just been there for that long.
He's been very good for the Cats.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's the changes to the coaching setup. Not much other news. A couple of injury issues. Jack Henry's obviously coming back from the Lisfranc. They expect him to be right to go post this break.
Yeah.
And Phoenix Foster, the young big man from South Australia.
It's a great name.
He had some foot issues. He stood, I think it happened in a tackle. The foot just, you know, awkward position. He was in a moon boot for a little while, but he's out. Three more years for Tom. So taking him to the end of 2027. I got to have a sit down with him. Tom Stewart doesn't deal in cliches. He doesn't, you know, and you, if you ask him cliched questions, he'll give you cliched answers. But I was lucky enough to sit down with him and I said, mate, I'm going to try and avoid asking about cliches and stuff like that. And look, as much as he was shitty with the fact that they didn't play finals and didn't back up from last year, he said it's been good for the club. He reckons it's just been a whole club reset where they've got an extra month off, you know, chance to just freshen up mentally, physically. I think more mentally for a lot of the blokes because, you know, especially those guys that played in 2020 and that season went till October.
Yep.
And so they've played in a, you know, grand final in 20, prelim in 21 in Perth, then win a flag. Like that, winning that flag in 2022 based off how difficult the 2 years before had been, I think we, like, it was a great effort to win a flag, and it's a wonderful effort to win one. I think we still undersell it a little bit that, you know, the disappointment of 20, getting their pants absolutely pulled down in 21, there's no surprise that probably a letdown has actually came.
Yeah, possibly.
And then obviously the injuries that came with it, the Guthrie one, yeah, I think the Guthrie hurt. One hurt.
Yeah, that did. So 3 more years, and he suggested that he's going to play in the midfield.
Yeah, that was in the media. I wasn't in the media conference.
Yeah, so are your thoughts on that?
He's a 5-time All Australian in defence.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Jack Henry's not up and about, I don't know that you that's the problem right there, Kingy, is that they're trying to pull.
Why would you try to fit
players into positions?
He turns 31 in March.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to turn a 31-year-old 5-time All Australian defender into a midfielder?
Because they know that their midfield, they ain't winning the premiership with the midfield they got.
But I don't think they're winning it with Tom Stewart in midfield.
They think they are.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Either do I. That's why I think that taking this manner at 36 when he's 26 is no knock on him, but he's slightly odd. Yeah. So they're midfield. And I sort of, when Stewart said, I didn't know that he'd re-signed, I just saw it on the news.
Yeah.
And he came on and started talking about, oh, you know, I'm happy to play anywhere, which they all say.
So, yeah.
But I'm going, you know, sort of alluded to the fact I'm going to be in the midfield around the source and all this sort of rubbish. But I thought, oh, shit. So that I thought to myself, Cats are in trouble already. They're making, and I mean, I'm not suggesting he couldn't go in there for a quarter. If you think you're going to take him out of your defence...
No, you're not taking him. No.
No, I hope not.
No, you're not doing that.
I absolutely hope not, Tom.
No.
I hope not.
Before we get to... Just AFLW season, can we touch on that?
Yeah, the Cats were good. I watched the prelim.
Against the Lions.
Yeah.
They were a bit... They were.
They played quite well. They had plenty of chances. They just couldn't get a goal.
They've come along in leaps and bounds. And I'll tell you who was... And I know you know Claudia Gunjaka through a family connection.
Yeah. Oh, Claude's?
Her season...
I'll see her on Christmas Day.
Her season was unbelievable.
Yeah, she's really...
I think top five in the BNF.
Yeah, she's a very... She's just become sort of a bit of a Scarlo back there, isn't she?
Mm.
She gets in the way. She's a big
girl.
She
reads the...
And she takes a good mark.
Yeah.
And she's learning, you know, she's... And like a lot of the girls, she's learning to read the play better and better.
Yep.
So she's getting into good spots as a defender. And, yeah, she's really improved. For somebody who had never really played footy, she played when she went up to uni in Sydney.
Yep, won the league medal up there.
Yeah, played just sort of... Anyway, she's always been very athletic, and quite strong. You know, she's no shrinking violet in terms of her size.
Yep. The disappointing thing is, how good would she be if she had a 15, 16, 17 game season? Well, actually, it would be 20 based on playing three finals and playing everybody once rather than them just playing 10 games.
Yeah, but do you think the standard of the comp would drop?
Potentially, and that's why they're not in a rush to expand it out.
Do they get a bit weary, Dunlop?
They won't, because eventually they will be on a salary where they can just be full-time footballers.
Yeah, how far away do you reckon that is?
Well, the new CBA's got up the figure to something decent. So, four-year deal for Georgia Prasparkas, four-year deal for Nina Morrison.
She's good to watch.
Nina Morrison's great to watch.
Yeah.
And four-year deal for Becky Webster. So, the Cats have locked away a majority of their list.
Yeah, they've done a good job, Kingy, just locking them away.
Renee Gehring.
Is Renee still going around?
Retired.
Oh, is she?
She's retired, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What would she be, 36?
34 or 5. She's not 36, but yeah, 34 or 35. So she's done. But great effort to come back.
K-Rock zone.
Yep. After giving birth to her first child. And she played all bar two games, I think, in this season. Just didn't get the fairy tale farewell. But, gee, they tried hard. Win two knockout finals, including beat Melbourne.
Yeah. It was good. Good season for the old AFLW girls.
They had record membership. And 90,000 is the Cats' target for next year. So the club did ask if we could pump up membership at geelongcats.com.au. Just off the Cat Attack podcast, big footy style.
Yeah.
Before we actually put in, did you watch Major League?
No.
You haven't seen Major League, the movie?
No.
Haven't you?
No.
So you don't know who Harry Doyle is. Anyway, Hinkley29, about a month ago, I saw a vaccination machine doing some work the other day, and I started urinating myself laughing. Until that day, I honestly thought that vaccination was a made-up brand of Benny's imagination.
The old vaccination.
No, it actually exists, vaccination. Yeah. Right, here we go. Dudas Maximus. Granted, Wellesley has a knack for identifying latent talent. What's unique about his process? Which other recruiters do you envy? Do you envy any recruiters?
No, I don't. Well,
Kinnear Beetson's always had a very good track record in Sydney.
Yeah, he has. They seem to get it right at Collingwood a little bit.
Yep.
Graham Wright.
Yep.
Was
Derek Hine there for a little while as well?
Yeah, he moved on. I don't follow that side of the footy as closely as I used to. I find it a bit of a, you know, talking about people you've never heard of, a little bit laborious. But, Wellesley's done really well, obviously. I mean, you have a lot of picks over a lot of years. You can't fluff them all.
No.
The one thing that he probably, if you're being critical, Kingy, is he has probably struggled to identify key position players.
First round talent's also been an issue for
the
Cats.
Yeah, I mean, they've really whiffed on some taller players.
Yep.
Tom Hawkins fell into their lap.
Yep.
Matthew Scarlett fell into their lap. Harry Taylor was one that was a good draft pick, really good draft pick at a perfect time.
Because that was Matty Egan not knowing whether he was
that's right. Again. And Harry came in as a mature.
And if Matty Egan was right, that Matty Egan doesn't hurt his foot in that game against
Brisbane. You don't get Harry Taylor.
You don't get Harry Taylor.
No, but you got Matty Egan.
Yeah,
who would have been just as good.
Good, yeah.
But yeah,
well, he was all Australian.
So I can't think of him off the top of my head, but there were a litany of players that we drafted.
Mitch
that
Brown.
6'5". Yeah, Scott Simpson.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There was seven or eight of them who just did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
He struggled with that sort of player. He found some gems, obviously, but there has been a number of drafts where things haven't gone right. It's not all been. I mean, he got it right with Enright and that Kelly, Johnson, Chapman.
Yep.
I mean, Ablett fell into their lap. I'm trying to think who else was part of that.
Joel Corey.
Yep, Joel Corey. He was a top 10 pick. Got it right there.
Got it right with Mackie.
Yeah, Mackie. And Mackie at the time was seen as a bit of a smoky.
Yeah, he was pick seven.
Pick seven, yeah. So there's been some really good ones, and there's been... and
they got Tim Kelly right at pick 22.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, only circumstance, Tim Kelly by now might be a two-time Geelong best and fairest and premiership player if he had stuck around.
Yeah. I mean, Lachie Fogarty playing at Carlton.
But Link McCarthy...
they got that right.
They got it right, he couldn't get his body right.
Yeah, and I would have thought the same for Nekiah Cockatoo if he was ever able to stay fit. The thing that we remember, and which is fantastic, is that Wellesley got a group, he got it right over a couple of years, and then they all ended up playing a lot of footy together and winning the premiership.
Yep.
That's when it makes it more difficult if you hit on one draft and then you whiff on the next two. And then the one after, because you don't have that continuity of players, you tend to lose that. But Geelong got it right there for two or three years and got a crew together and helped by some pretty handy father and sons, Ablett, Scarlett, Hawkins. So they got that right, and which we will remember forever as probably the greatest Geelong team that we'll ever see.
Yep.
That 07 to 2011 was just extraordinary, but we'll never see that again. But there has been certainly been some whiffs along the way, and taller players seems to where we've whiffed a lot over the journey. Troy was doing recruit. He was very much for 3 or 4 years?
Maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, he was very much at the coalface, and I don't know that... I think Wellesley may have taken a little bit of a backward step when Troy was heavily involved.
Yep.
So it would be a very difficult process that. I don't know. I don't envy recruiters because, you get the guys that go out into the field, go to Sandful games and Waffle games and, VFL, yada yada, and then they see these players all the time, feed the info back to the... and then have a strong opinion on someone, and then the chief recruiter doesn't like them. It'd be very interesting dynamic.
Mm. 24 players out of contract next year. How many are playing their final year? Tui, Hawk, Rowan, Stanley, Danger, others. So it's actually 23 now, Tom Stewart. So these are the players out of contract.
Yep.
Brandon Parfitt. He needs a big year.
Yeah, otherwise gone.
Yep. Cam Guthrie will...
How his year goes.
Yeah, but he'll be at Geelong beyond next year.
Well, he won't be anywhere else.
No.
He'll either be gone or at Geelong.
Emerson Jacob.
Who? Well,
he's the rookie draft pick from Hawthorn.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So yeah.
Rowan.
Just insert name here, Gary Rowan gone.
Jack Bowes.
He'll be there, but I don't know what capacity. Could be in the VFL.
Jack Henry's a restricted free agent. He's not going anywhere.
No, he'll be hopefully staying.
Jake Colajasny, unrestricted free agent.
Well, I like him, but, if they wanted to let him go, if they could get something for him, possibility there that do a trade. I think he's a real meat and potato sort of player that you need. But anyway, I'd be watch this space.
James Willis just held on for another contract.
Gone.
If he doesn't get on the park. Jed Buse turned 30 the other day. Happy birthday, Jedda.
Well, I wouldn't have thought he'd go anywhere else, but he needs a year to rebound off a disappointing year.
Yep. I'm going to say he's on 160 games. I'd love him to get to 200.
Yeah.
And him and the old man be 200-game players.
I have to be well aware that he needs a year. There might have been some injury problems underlying. I know he missed that minor knee surgery.
May have, yep.
So that probably impacted him, but he needs to have a rebound. He was nowhere near at his best this year.
Jai Clark, obviously only into his second
year. Yeah, hopefully he'll be a gun.
Yep.
I'd like to see him get at least a dozen games.
Mark O'Connor's an interesting
one. Yeah, I wish they'd trade Mark O'Connor. It's too WD-40 for me.
Max Holmes?
Well, they don't want to lose Max Holmes, but if he hasn't signed by the middle of the year, he will not be at Geelong.
Mitch Hardy is the mid-season draft, he needs to play some senior footy.
Yeah, go on.
Mitch Duncan is an interesting case.
Yeah, well, Mitch, he's not going anywhere else. If he has a good year, they might give him another year. If he has a poor year if his car flies out of his leg and lands on one of his kids, he...
How many kids has he
got?
He's got
73 of them. He just cannot stop. He's like a machine. So be up to Mitch and how he goes and his form and his injuries, all that.
Ollie Henry is a cat for life.
Well, I reckon he's an absolute gun.
Yep.
He's a 50 to 60 goal mid-size forward.
Does Patrick Dangerfield play beyond this year?
Ah, well, I think he's on the way out, Kingy. Unfortunately,
does he need to find a role inside 50?
No. I don't think so. I don't subscribe to that. He's not a forward. Mm-hmm. He doesn't. I don't know that he sticks. I don't think he's great at sticking at structures when he plays up forward, which throws others out.
Yep.
And that's not a knock on him. He's just been such a good ball winner. Yep. See ball, get ball, yep, as a midfielder. I think it's very difficult to translate that to a forward where you need to sort of have patterns that you work and run and move and how you interact with others around you. He just goes into the midfield and does his own thing, and there haven't been too many better than him over the last 10 to 15 years of doing that. But I don't know that that translates well to playing up forward. And unfortunately, he is nowhere near the player he was, and I'm not, you know, rewriting history in saying that. But that's part of the problem with our midfield. He needs to be, for Geelong's midfield to be anywhere near a midfield that can compete with the top five or six teams in the competition. And he has the odd game where he can do it, but I'd say it'd be four or five games for the year. The rest of the year, he's quite pedestrian. Mm. And that's why Geelong's midfield has really fallen over, and they don't have anything underneath, losing Guthrie hurt. But Patrick Dangerfield, the way he's played the game, is probably caught up with him to a degree. He's just not capable of being a consistent player anymore at the level that we're sort of used to.
Phoenix Foster will need to get on the park. I think Reece Stanley's playing his last year.
Yeah, 100%. If he's still there, I will attend the 2025 draft dressed as Reece Stanley.
Okay. Right. Okay. Ted Closey, we saw in round 24.
Yeah, let's just see more of him. Yep. I mean, he hopefully gets a crack. There's maybe an opening there for him somewhere in the midfield. So, yeah, I'm happy to see him go around.
Tom Hawkins will play game 350 this
year. I'd say this is his last season.
If it's not going well for the Cats,
he won't. If they were 14th with four wins after, you know, 13 rounds.
I was just thinking, if it was a really bad start, does he get to 355 and pull the pin?
Well, if it would want to be a really bad start, and then they want to be getting games into...
Phoenix Foster.
Big fella from WA. The Gazelle, the big boy.
Shannon Neal,
that's him. We need to get games into him, and this is where... I don't know, I've said this 100 times again. This is where you sort of have to balance your expectation as a club and... in the short term and then the long term. Ideally, Shannon Neal gets 15 games this year, or next year, sorry.
Yep.
And really develops. He's going to have some poor games within that. He's going to be inconsistent, all those things. But just keep playing him. He needs to learn the position. Tommy Hawkins is there alongside Jeremy Cameron. There's really no room for him.
Yep.
So he's a player you want to be learning in the AFL system, not so much in the VFL system. He's sort of above that. So this is where it's an interesting conundrum. Whether or not he could play in the ruck, and push Reece Stanley out. I don't know that that's his position long term, but if he was to get some game time in the ruck, I probably wouldn't be against that. He's quite physical. He's very athletic. I know that. But it's a bit of a conundrum for the Cats, Kingy, and this is where, you know, you'd love to sit down with Steve Hocking and say, where do you think you are as a footy club going into this year? And if he says, oh, we can win the premiership, well, you'd be thinking, well, Shannon Neal ain't playing.
Yeah. If Tyson Stengel had to kick 27 goals, 9 from 19 games in 2022 and the Cats win the flag, you would have gone, that's not too bad. Not too bad. The fact that he kicked 27 goals, 9 after kicking 53-27 the year before,
yep.
did we rate him a bit too harshly against what he did in 2022?
No, because that's the level he could get to. He could play at that level. He showed he could play to that level.
But remember, he did get hurt.
He did get hurt. I don't think you can rate someone harshly if they can show that they can do that.
Yep.
I mean, you could say as a small forward, you're a little bit reliant on the team ahead of you in terms of the midfield and how the team is going, if they're getting beaten, the supply, all that. So I can factor that in. I'll probably give that 15 goals. He fell short of that by another 13. And he had games where you actually had to get your magnifying glass out and scan down the sheet to see if he was actually out there.
Zach Guthrie will be...
He's a very good player, Zach Guthrie. Yeah.
And Zach Tuohy will be farewell to
last year. I can't believe he's playing, to be honest with you. I've got absolutely no idea why they've still got Zach Tuohy playing. And no knock on Zach Tuohy. He's been unbelievable. I just don't understand for where they're at why he's playing. Given they left him out of the team in the last round to play kids. Why have they got him back? Unless he said, I'm happy to spin round in the twos most of the year. I'd love to see, there's so many other players, Closey, Jai Clark,
Mitch Nevitt,
Ollie Dempsey, Ocean's 11.
Yep. Shane Mullen.
Yeah. I'd love to see those six players all rotating in and out of the team. If they're all playing at once and we're going, shit, great. But I don't want to see Zach Tui just getting 17 possessions on the wing. I don't see the value in that.
Ledger Cat, what can we expect from Jai Clark this year? Is this his second pre-season, and will he be hardened to play most games, or have his injury set back his development to that of a first-year player hoping to play a couple of games? I reckon if they got a dozen games out of Jai Clark next year, they'd be happy.
Yep. I'd love that.
Yep.
He's the future of their midfield.
Yep.
Alongside Tanner Bruin.
Yep.
Who I think will take another step.
Tanner Bruin looks in very good.
And I think he's a very hard working kid.
He is, incredibly.
Yeah. He wants to be the best he can absolutely be. He'll take another step this year. He'll go from, and I'm only guessing, Kingy, 2022, he probably averaged 16 possessions, 15.
Were you talking about when he was still at?
His last year at the Giants.
Yep.
So which was his second year. So he probably, this is completely off the top of my head, but he probably averaged 13 or 14 touches maybe.
17 games, 202, so that's about 12 disposals a game.
Yep. This year, what did he go to, 17, 18 maybe?
310 divided by 19, doing some quick math, about 16.
Yeah, he'll go to a 22 possession player next year.
And go top five in the BNF.
Yeah, he's a very good player. He and Clark are the future of that midfield, but that's where... That's my point. I don't think you're not winning the premiership when the future of your midfield is two kids that have played, one's played one game or one quarter, and the other one's in his fourth season. Hmm. It's going to take, you've got to build some other layers around that. And I'd love to see Jai Clark, if he's fit and firing. You don't want to see him absolutely work to the bone, but if he could get 12 to 15 games, and you know, maybe work him through some games where he's a little bit quiet, but just keep sort of...
persisting.
Yeah, to a degree. I reckon that'd be great.
Cats09, what was the biggest surprise from Geelong's recent AFLW season? Probably how deep they went.
Yeah. I think... And I went to a couple of games, King.
Are you a bit of a convert because you poo-pooed AFLW?
No, I didn't poo-poo it. I just...
Yes, you did.
No, I never...
I remember you saying, I don't know why there's been so much invested in this.
Yeah, there has. I agree, but I've changed my tune in that I understand now why the AFL have invested money way over the actual reality of the competition.
Yep.
And that's to create interest. That was the only way they were going to create interest, because the product itself wasn't going to create the interest. Now, there's kids playing who will have been playing over the next 7, 8, 9 years, will have grown up playing footy.
Yep.
Girls will have done that.
Yeah, Auskick in the under 12s.
And that competition will just continue to grow. Give it a decade, and there'll be the entire competition will have pretty much grown up playing football.
Yep. Is it possible the officiating in AFLW is worse than what we see in the AFL? Seems a lot more inconsistent in the women's game. Australian rules football is just hard to officiate because it's open to interpretation.
Well, I think the girls' footy is easier to officiate because it's played at a slightly slower pace.
Yep.
So you can actually, it's a little bit more clear cut in watching it. I would have thought it'd be easier to officiate than the male footy, where everything's sort of at a breakneck speed.
Boris 332, what does 2024 hold for Brandon Parfitt?
Came up with the greatest line of this year, Boris Enright. I have to see if we were talking about line.
Was that when we were talking about the 2009? Game?
No. Yeah, when he said, when did you know you're going to be in the Hall of Fame? And he said about 6 years ago, which was an absolute ripper.
A couple of years ago, he looked like the future of our midfield, got injured, Atkins overtook him, spent most of 2023 on the outer, but his last game was arguably the best of his career. Is he purely a fringe player now, or can he fight his way back into the starting midfield? But Brandon Parfitt.
Jeez, I liked Brandon Parfitt.
I still do like Brandon Parfitt.
He's had a stink bomb of a year.
He's never been the same since, was it finger he broke or... in against the Bulldogs in 2022.
I don't know what happened to him. Like he's nicely balanced. He's a good tackler. He's skillful. He's not overly quick, but he reads the game well. I don't know. You'd go to the footy and think, wow, what's happened to this kid? He can't get near it. Don't know about off field. you know, is he got everything in order off field? You never know what's happening there. But he's under, well, someone will pick him up. He's too talented for somebody not to give him another crack. But he needs, I mean, he's won. If he could jump up and be, I mean, he's played over 100 games.
He has, yeah.
He'd be expected to be a 25-possession midfielder consistently. Yep. If he could somehow find that, and you get Guthrie back, and you get Tanner Bruin taking another step, and you've got somebody like a Jai Clark, we don't have huge expectations, but if he was to come in and play a sort of a bit of a fringe role in his second season, and Dangerfield is still there, you know, maybe it's a slightly different story, but... I sort of don't know what to expect from Brandon Parfitt, to be honest.
Cat to the future, a lot of questions. Jack Bowes looks like a different player with all the weight lost. Exciting. Oh, he's got to show something.
Yeah, he's don't know what position he plays, Gingy. He's a bit on the
He's a defender, isn't he? That's where he played his best
for. Yeah, possibly. Suns. So what are they thinking? They take Stewart out and put him in. Crikey.
Connor O'Sullivan being thrown around the ground early, it seems, rather than set and forget in D50. Blitz replacement or hype? Oh, I suspect they're just trialling, just having a look at him everywhere at this stage.
Just giving him some room to sort of move, I would have thought.
Yep.
Surely we've not got any expectations on him, have we?
I wouldn't have thought next year.
No. But was he 198?
Yep.
Yeah, God, just let him. He needs a couple of years to find his feet. And he's as skinny as a whip, isn't he?
Yep.
He's a pull through for a 303, as Ian Robinson used to say.
Jai Clark still not in full training. Should we start holding vigils?
Oh, is he not?
I believe he had a little niggle with a foot, but it's not. But I've been told it's not serious. It was stood on somebody's foot.
Did they sing nothing too serious? Did you see that?
Yeah, Ivor Davies came down.
Did he come down and sing it?
Yeah.
What they should do is
with his permed mullet from 1987.
We should get that going, Kingy, next year. That when we talk about a player, we get that little background. And nothing too serious. I think can you organise that?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Young Theodore Closey training in the back line. Love it or hate it. I would like him in the midfield.
Who's doing this critique?
Cat to the future.
Who's sending this in? Is this Chris Scott sending this in?
Getting our feedback. Is there anything you can do to get the nickname Blade to stick for Ollie Wiltshire?
Yeah, the Wiltshire, the Snake Knives.
You were calling him the Snake Knives.
Yes.
Yep.
We'll call him the Snake Knives.
He's not Jack Crisp, the Snake Knives. He's a legitimate Wiltshire.
Yeah, he's legitimate, the Wiltshire. Bruce, he won't be playing in the seniors, mark my words.
Bruce Willis year, taking advantage of his first full preseason. Is he putting together the greatest Christmas movie of all time for us? Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
No.
Even Bruce Willis says it's not. Stevens and O'Sullivan look very comfortable in front of the camera. Future interview shortlist for the podcast. Well, we've rarely had players on. I think Jake Colajasny might be the only player.
Yeah, and then I asked him if he'd heard of Eddie Vedder, and he had no idea. He'd never heard of Pearl Jam or the Wow.
Do we have any scratch matches on the cards this year other than the sanctioned preseason match? Geelong will have a... Yes, they'll have that match sim like they had against Hawthorn. I don't know who against, but it will be the week before they play their preseason game down here.
Is that the one that went for 17 quarters?
Yeah, that was Richmond the year before that we broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas last year's one was a bit
different. That was like the... That was like went longer than Gone with the Wind, didn't it?
Cool Cat 75. I'm optimistic that with a bit more luck from the footy guards, both injury and otherwise, we can push again for top four. Am I right to assume that Benny thinks otherwise? If the Cats win the flag in 2024, will Benny commit to getting the artwork of the coach's face imprinted on both cheeks to make up for squibbing it in 2022?
That'd be extraordinary if they wanted it. Yeah, I hope they do, but I'm always glass half empty, and I just don't.
Unless it's somebody else's shout.
Yeah. Yes, and then it'll need a fully charged sort of brown bubbly water. But no, I don't hope that they fail. I hope that they
we want them to succeed.
Yeah, we do. But I just don't think that. I think that they've won in 22. They've got some key players who are on the way out. The list is in flux. They're trying to stay relevant while give some of these guys some games. I don't think you can do both. Mm-hmm. For not this group. This group, they have done that in previous years.
They've been transitioning the list for a decade.
Yeah.
But it's...
It's reached a point where it's become a much more difficult assignment to stay relevant while getting games in. And I sometimes wonder whether you're better just for the arse to fall out of your pants and just all those kids I mentioned earlier. And, I mean, we're talking about guys, Kingy, what they have been able to do, which is... And what they've done in the past is that players like Shannon Neal aren't first-year players. So when they come in, they're physically able to compete.
Yep.
So there's something in that, that you're not just throwing in a kid in his first year who you know it's been, oh, well...
Yeah, he's had three pre-seasons under his belt.
Yeah, yeah, but close, he's had a year under his belt. I know Joel Clark's only young, but he's at least had a year under his belt. I'm trying to think, I mean, Mitch Nevitt now is, what, into his third season? Yep. Ollie Dempsey into his third season. So you've got a little
I'm
bit
still,
under
I'm
these...
still jury out on Dempsey.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know where he's... The other one who I was going to mention, Kingy, I think, who is under a little bit of pressure is... Not, and this might sound a bit, I thought he had a really inconsistent year, not a poor year, but inconsistent. He was Brad Close this year.
Yep.
Thought he was,
but I think
there's some games we actually didn't see.
He was the barometer for Geelong. When Brad Close was up and about, the Cats were up and about. I reckon you'll find when Geelong played well, Close played well.
Yeah.
And when he didn't,
yeah.
Geelong didn't.
Yeah.
And he still finished top 10 in the best and
yeah,
fairest.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit of a weird, that's sort of indicative of how the Cats went. Yeah. I reckon he had a lot more poor games than good games.
Yeah. The Cattery, 2007. Love your work, guys. Long time listener, first time caller. What's your mail on Connor O'Sullivan over the preseason? Seems a very impressive young man. Given his size and obvious potential upside, why do you think he apparently slid so far in the draft? Well, it just came down to what clubs wanted in the end. You take out those academy picks, he's still a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
But those academy, look, the Suns wanted those that trio, and that's how it's...
Well, where was he projected to go in the draft?
He was, wasn't he? Top 10.
The whole way along?
Yep.
As a key centre half back?
Yep.
Yep. So, well, that's what the Cats need. That was a need. I just hope they haven't... I know I don't know anything about it, Kingy, but I hope they haven't reached to get him. Because I think if you reach for key position players, you 9 times out of 10, you end up with egg on your face.
Daz Broncos, I'm in town. Love local listening for this one. Merry Christmas. With Sav moving down the road and Koss being taken with our first overall, O'Sullivan, we are expecting him to slot in right away as key position defender number 2, or will he get the SDK year in the Magoos to cut his teeth and get his head around it all? Surely he gets time to develop in 2024. Unless something goes wrong with the Geelong defence over summer and injuries or something like that, he's not. I don't think he's playing round 1.
God, no. What, the kid?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, let him develop. Yeah. If he's dominating in the VFL and he gets a game, great, but just let him find his feet. If he doesn't play any games and he plays 15 games in the VFL, that'll be a good year, as long as you sort of can see some development. But I'd be having zero expectations on him playing senior footy unless he's tearing them a new one in the VFL.
The under-over, Neil, on 12 games in 2024. He has to play 12 games, in my opinion, to get the benefit of actual game time with Tommy and Jezza rather than just training with him. Are you under or over on 12 games for him?
Yeah, I'm over that. I'd love to see him get more than that because I think
so that means Tom Hawkins isn't playing a lot of footy then. Or well, Jeremy Cameron's got injured.
As I said, can they throw Neil into the ruck?
Potentially.
To get him some game time.
Yep.
Which...
He's a competitive,
could he be a ruckman?
He's a competitive beast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's athletic and competitive. So I don't know what his tank's like. Long term, I'd love to see him as a full forward. But if he's getting the feel of the AFL game on a consistent basis in the ruck, I'd probably take that. And then he then moves forward next year when he's not re-signed though, is he?
Yes, he is. He's end of 2025.
Right. Oh, yep. Well, that's good.
Yeah, he tacked on a couple of years.
Yeah, well, that's good. I really like him. That's just the balance I was talking about before. How do you get games? How do you fast-track your development in terms of rather than waiting till Tommy Hawkins is finished and then going, let's put Shannon Neal in, and you've got a year then to wait for him that you could have used this year to develop him. That's the balance.
Yep. And who will be your best Smokey for best development in 24? I reckon Closey myself of the newer breed has a real chance to make an impression. I have Mitch Nevitt.
Yeah, I really like Mitch Nevitt. He's big. Has he added some size? I think they're probably trying to make him a midfielder.
He's already a good size as it is.
Yeah, he's 193, but he just probably needs to be a bit more meat on
across,
it.
Across the top.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's top line, as they call it in racing. On horses. I do like him. Is his third season?
Is Benny going with the Chris Scott face with or without the Santa hat on his backside?
Yeah, I can't do tattoos, in fairness. I'm just not...
Benny, you made a bet.
Yeah, well...
And 15 months on, you still haven't...
I went to a milk bar to ask whether they had, one you could just stick on, a Chris Scott face.
Didn't have
no, she didn't, unfortunately.
No. Didn't know who Chris Scott was.
No.
How's Benny going with the grief counselling post the Joe Burrows injury?
Well, in fairness, Kingy, I've never been that disconsolate about a game, about a sport in my life. Mm. I couldn't believe it when I was watching that. I was up at
How are the Bengals going? Are they still in the playoff?
They're still relevant.
Who's the backup QB?
Well, the backup, ironically, Kingy, the backup is Jake Browning, right, who has set NFL records in his first three starts.
Right.
So he's been extraordinary.
So where's Joe playing next summer?
No, that's right. So no, it was disappointing.
He's up to the Canadian League.
Yes, his dad played in the Canadian League.
Joe Burrows.
Yeah, his dad
did.
Yeah. So no, it was disappointing. Daz's team, Broncos, are on the up though.
Mm.
They sold all their players and then got better.
Right.
Which is ironic. But it's a really tight race in all that because the Chiefs aren't the walkers they used to be. If the Ravens win it, I'm going to do something that may end up having me behind bars.
Right.
I cannot have the Ravens.
Right.
So,
Fox Dog 50 to finish us. What's your view on where we should play Blitz in 2024? I've always liked him in the mid, but as we know, he can play any position that we play him. Should we play him as a key defender and play that second ruck? He did play brilliant the year or two he played as a defender.
Yeah, look.
Cats like him in the midfield, and I think that's where he's staying.
Yeah, I think, and the midfield's probably where they need the most help, albeit if Stewart's in the midfield.
And Guthrie's back.
And Tanner Bruin takes another step and is, he's a better player, which you'd think is going to happen naturally. Then maybe they put Blitzarves in defence. Maybe. I don't see it. They do like him around the ball. He's got. It'll be interesting to see how he does go, but I don't know what they'll do with him. They'd throw him all over the place. As soon as they get an injury, they'll put him somewhere.
P.S. Is Kerry O'Keefe Benny Cass's grandfather listening to him while watching the cricket? The apple doesn't drop far from the tree. Very similar funny comment.
Don't think it's funny. What do you think of cricket? I think it's eating itself. I don't follow cricket, but they're shortening the games now again. And is the West Indies coming out here?
Yep.
But their captain's not coming.
Their seven of their best players aren't coming because they'd rather play T20.
Yeah. Wow. Cricket's in trouble.
Cricket's not what it was.
It's in trouble. I think I'm in trouble.
Thank you, Lindsay Buckingham. Yeah. I used to love watching cricket as a kid. Like, you couldn't move me in summer from in front of the TV.
Yep.
Now, it's... It's
on every night.
It's white
every
noise time. In the background.
Oh, it's
good to have on in the background while you're doing the dishes or something like that. Last night I reckon I watched till about once I knew the result. Once you worked out that Brisbane were beating the Renegades with about seven overs to go, I reckon, this is over. Off it went.
Flick it off. Yeah. No, I think it's just when I heard them that they're going to, shorten the games again to 10 overs. I mean, if you're having to shorten your product to make it relevant, I think you've got a lot of problems with your product.
Yeah. But Test cricket's great.
It'll be dead. But Test cricket will be gone.
Because only three countries have actually played.
Give it 20 years, there'll be no such thing as Test cricket.
Australia, India and England.
And
New Zealand a little bit. But, we're flogging Pakistan. South Africa's not what they used to be.
And everyone wants to make a quid, which is fair enough. They don't want to play Test cricket.
No.
I fell out of love with cricket in the 90s.
We will be back before Benny. I reckon we might get back before the.
Is this the longest podcast in history?
Yeah, we just ticked over an hour. Less edits at a.
There's not any edits.
No, there's going to be some edits.
No, you're not editing out. So there was nothing. What are you going to edit out?
There's some stuff coming in.
No, just leave it in.
Right. Friday, March 1, Benny.
Yes.
4 o'clock. We'll be on air for Geelong and Essendon.
Yes.
Pre-season game.
GMHBA
Stadium.
Yep.
And then, of course, round one, the Cats at home, 6 o'clock on air for Geelong and St Kilda for the opening of the Joel Selwood stand.
Yes. Can't wait for that. Do we'll get Joel on?
Hope so.
Good.
Merry Christmas.
Righto. Happy New Year.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official whack and noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KersHire.com.au.